Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Trick or treat, bitches.
Into the bubbly.
The Monday Night Messiah.
For the love of God, stay away from the different dogs.
Move to the music, play like music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Welcome to the Halloween episode of the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your ghoulish commissioner. And I am joined, as always, by the very spooky, creepy, and ooky DPP.
Spooky scientist war.
And also, underneath his mask, he's funky. He's oh so funky. He's AJ Balazs.
Ah, yes. So funky, so spooky. Especially with the LA Park mask.
LA Park. Gentlemen, happy Halloween. Welcome to episode 251 of the DWI podcast. What's your favorite candy bar, you guys? Because when I think about Halloween, I think about trick-or-treating as a kid or passing out candy now. Not this year, but, you know, before this year. And it's always, what's the good candy? I mean, you would go to, I remember, like, I would go, like, to my friends' neighborhoods, and we would all, in your own neighborhood, you knew who gave away the best. Oh, you get a full candy bar here. Or, you know, you get a lollipop there. You get a corn ball there. You get whatever. I mean, what were you thrilled to get, and what were you disappointed to get when you were trick or treating, DP?
I was always a Snickers man, big fan of the Snickers or the Hershey's miniatures. When I got those were always the best.
Oh, there was
the Hershey's.
Right, there was either the plain Hershey, there was the Mr. Goodbar, there was the Crackle. The Crackle, and then there was the Hershey's with the almond, right? Those were the four, weren't they?
Or there was a dark chocolate one in there, too. Dark chocolate.
I think there was a dark, yeah.
I was a big fan. I love the Mr. Goodbars and the Crackles a lot, so those are probably two and three on my list, and then Kit Kats would round out probably the four, I think. For me, but so Snickers was number one.
Yeah, you're
and Reese's
you're
peanut butter cups.
Guy there. Sounds like you're a chocolate.
Love the chocolate.
Anything chocolate. Oh, baby. Yeah, there you go. And what did you not want to get?
What I not want to get? Tootsie Rolls. Hate Tootsie Rolls. Caramel. I don't know. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do the Tootsie Rolls or the Rolos. None of those. Not a fan.
Rolos. Yeah. All right. AJ, how about you?
Well, I'm always the basic person. I always love the good old the King Cup Reese's, or the ones that had the four pack in them for their king size that they had. that are a good crunch bar inside of my Halloween sweets.
Like a crunch bar.
And I would probably say the one that I hated was always like the ones that always gave Jolly Ranchers or as you said, Rolos, because there's like a couple of the older people that used to live around here. It's okay. I knew where the cool guy was down the street that actually went all in on Halloween. He had like a dull chainsaw. He used to scare people all the time. Go right up to like a tree and just start like pretending like he's about to slash someone with it. It was awesome.
There's always one in the neighborhood, isn't there?
Sounds like a great time.
I said it was dull. There was no chain to it.
I also was just like whatever chocolate, right? I especially like Twix. Peanut butter Twix was actually my favorite back in the day. You could never find that anywhere anymore. But I didn't want any candy, like sweet candy, really. I mean, gummy worms or gummy bears I kind of like, but like sweet tarts or like anything like Red Hots or Gobstoppers, lollipops. I didn't just want those sugar sticks, pixie sticks. I want to tear the top off of a straw filled with sugar and just dump it right down my throat. That's fun.
Well, you know, what about the fun dip?
Nope. I think the only thing like that I liked was the Pop Rocks, and then you'd drink some Coca-Cola with it and your mouth would just like be exploding.
Go from Halloween to 4th of July real quick.
There you go. All right. Well, that's just a little Halloween talk. Remember trick-or-treating back in the day, and it's always nice to see the kids around the neighborhood and see who gets dressed up and the little kid that's crying in their costume and everything else. So happy Halloween to everybody. Be safe. Be smart if you're going to go. Make sure you sanitize. But I don't know. I don't think it's a great idea this year. I know some places are still doing it. Go ahead, DP.
There's one more candy we didn't talk about.
For the love of God, stay away from the Dippin' Dots!
Goddamn Dippin' Dots.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the monster mash.
From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, we already played what kind of candy you eat, and so we'll skip what you're drinking this week. So, DP, let's let everybody know what's happening on the 251st edition of the DWI podcast.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
Sheet. Here's the sheet. It is big. Big show sheet. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week on the DWI podcast, it is the Halloween episode. We're going to talk some Hell in a Cell, some Halloween Havoc, how apropos, Thunder Rosa, a little trivia, a little Blame It on the Alcohol, and a last call that DP and AJ don't even know what it's going to be next. That's what's happened this week.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
Ring the bell. Gentlemen, I thought Hell in a Cell was absolutely fucking awesome. What did you two think?
Well, seeing how I'm the one that covered it, you can find that on thechairshot.com. Ding! I actually loved it so much. The only thing that I didn't like was the Retribution match, and that was it.
I can't disagree with that, but they're already dead. So, speaking of Halloween, ooh. the three Hell in a Cell matches were unbelievable. I thought they told just a great story in the ring. You know, I mean, starting off with, you know, Uso and Roman Reigns is crazy to think about that they started the show with that. But it was, you know, they spaced them out well, and they all told a different story, which I thought was really great. And they used the ring, and they used the cell, all three of them in different manners, which I absolutely love, because that's one of my biggest complaints is a lot of things are just recycled match after match. And either they talked about it, or that just worked out that way, that basically they all did different things with the Hell in the Cell. So I thought it was very well done, and all the three matches of those at least were fantastic.
I thought Sasha and Bayley had the match of the night. I enjoyed everything, actually. I thought the way they spaced the show out and they put those other few matches in there, it was perfect. You needed that, and it was fine that they weren't phenomenal, but none of them were absolute stinkers though either, right? But the Hell in a Cell matches, it was perfect, and like you said, they utilized different parts of the cell in different ways. I just thought the way the girls were, I mean, Bayley came out and looked like a fucking Jedi, hopping around off the cage in the ring and maneuvering around like that, and some of the things Bayley did, continuing to talk to Michael Cole, you know, fire the kendo sticks out the... Sasha's firing kendo sticks out the fucking cell at them. Bayley asking the refs if she can help her with the duct tape because she's sweaty. it was great. I thought the match was just really good. And that's what you get when you have a really long storyline. It's that way with Orton and McIntyre, right? I thought it was probably the worst of the matches of the three, but I would still give it like a 4 out of 5, right? That, I mean, I just thought they were all really good. I love how now they, not only do you have holes in the cell, but they put foot plants for McIntyre and Orton to do the spot there, right?
Brutal.
You know, they're up there on top of the cage, and I'm like, if they just went up there so that he could hit him in the dick with the fucking bat, that was just horrible. But then I'm like, oh, they're setting up to go off, right? And that's, it's a nice spot. Its problem is it's been done so many times, and worse things have been done, but it's not safe. But, you know, like, out of all the things you can do coming off the cage, that one's not too bad, right?
Right. That's, yeah, that's about as safe as you can get of taking a fall off of something, because it's, you know, it's smaller than what a normal cage would have been at that point, because that's about 10 feet up, I think, because it's 20 foot for the Hell in the Cell, and they were, you know, halfway up the cell, so that's about 20
feet. So from his feet, yeah, from his feet to the top of that announce table, which is probably, let's say, 3 feet high, yeah. So that's a 7 foot drop there.
Yeah, obviously, any kind of drop like that isn't the greatest, but like you said, it's about as safe as you can get for those kind of things, and they did
it's
it very
not
well.
Mick Foley being tossed off by his belt buckle, you know, right. Belt loop on the back, I mean, you know, from the top and measuring that off, you know,
right.
You think about that.
Well, yeah, and with the added of the foot rests and everything, you can get a comfortable spot and you know, fall off safely, as opposed to trying to make sure you get your feet out of the cage holes or whatever they did, you know, whatever you had to do beforehand. So it worked. And it was a good visual that the other Hell in the Cells didn't give you. So,
well, I mean, yeah, out of the top moves for all of them, I don't really think, what do you think was the highlight move of the Roman and Jay match? Because obviously McIntyre's bump onto the table, I would say Sasha getting, rolled back and tossed into the chair in the turnbuckle. That was awesome. That looked great. I say that was towards the top there. I don't know what the fuck they were trying to do taping those kendo sticks together. But anyway, what was the highlight? But the kendo sticks lined up with the hand holds in the stairs with the slingshot and the drop pole hold onto and up into. Great use of weaponry and everything else, right? I mean, the use of the table to back Bayley, I think, back into the cage, right? Wasn't that how that went?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was
I think.
What was the Roman and Jay? What did they do? That was just a good physical match, I thought.
They did the big, like, the holy shit spot that they did was Roman did a drive-by with the steps and the post.
Yeah, Jay's head in the turnbuckle
and
corner.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Sasha used they used the table, you know, as well to, you know, she ran up and did a Meteora into the cage, which was really cool. Like, they did a lot of good stuff in that match. It was just, not to go back to Sasha and Bayley again, but like you said, it was the match of the night, and they did a lot of creative things with, you know, the weapons and tables and chairs and everything in that one. So it was a really good
job. Do you think it's the best pay-per-view of the year? I would say so.
Yeah, it's the only one I probably
said
awesome.
So far, WWE-wise, yeah.
Maybe Royal Rumble, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch Royal Rumble to see how good Royal Rumble was. But the thing is if you go back and watch Royal Rumble, there's going to be fans, and it's going to make it feel so much fucking more awesome. Like, oh, my God. The first time they're going to have, you know, packed arenas again.
Yeah,
I'm all for a packed arena over a stadium, to be honest with you. I think some of the fandom gets lost at WrestleMania outdoors. You know, I get it's a grander spectacle, but when you had those places back in the day, like when you had WrestleMania at the Staples Center and shit like that, like that's one setting where everybody's together and it's all coming in to one spot. They ain't nothing losing at the top.
Right, that's the big thing, right, is a domed stadium or smaller arenas where you can have some of that crowd noise reverberating off walls and off the roof and everything like that. And, a more packed, condensed arena is going to result in, you know, more fan interaction, and you can hear that crowd noise, which makes a big difference. Like you said, WrestleMania's in the big outdoor stadiums and stuff like that. You lose a lot of that noise, and it kind of takes you out of it. Plus, the length of time, you know, wears down crowds. So, you know, shorter pay-per-views inside arenas, like when they had them at Madison Square Garden, obviously that's way too small now for them. But if you do it in arenas like that, I think, you know, much like NXT and how NXT is, their crowds are always really great because you have that ability in smaller arenas to get more interaction with the audience and hear more of that noise.
AJ, what did you rate the three cell matches? You did the coverage. I actually read your coverage. It was really good. As you were trying to, you know, keep your attention away from the Buccaneers and on Hell in a Cell. What did you end up rating? Not what did you rate them, but what order did you have them?
So if for like an actual match-wise, I would have probably said the... I don't know. I made them all close. They were all fours for me. I think I accidentally like put one maybe like 3 3/4. But they were all really good. I couldn't like put one more over. I think I put the Roman and Jay match more over because that told the great story with the tribal chief thing. Roman's like, I don't want to do this, but I mean, you're not quitting. I gave you an out. Come on, got to do it. Jimmy coming out and then putting him into a guillotine, making sure that Jay's like, all right, no. To protect Jimmy, no, we'll be your subservient little underlings. And then having the Wild Samoans come out too and giving Roman the lay to be the head of the table, that was beautifully done. Like, I think I gave that one higher just because they put everything together beautifully.
So it's kind of weird to me now because we got Survivor Series, and instead of continuing storylines at Survivor Series, or at least easily continuing storylines at Survivor Series, we now have a structure where it's Raw versus SmackDown. We just did the draft, and now we got to go back to this again, right? It doesn't make any sense where now we're blurring the lines right away, right after we did the draft, and we're going to do the Raw heavyweight champ versus the SmackDown heavyweight champ. We're going to do the women's champ versus the women's champ. We're going to do the tag champs against the tag champs. We're going to do Team Raw against Team SmackDown. Like, so what happens now with this red hot feud you have between Sasha and Bayley? how do you keep that moving forward storyline wise? Because they're not in the Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
You have
and Sasha's fighting Asuka for nothing.
Yeah.
They're all for nothing.
Hey, she can get her redemption against Asuka because of, I don't know. I got nothing on that one.
The only thing you could potentially do is have some of these people interfere in the other matches at that pay-per-view, but otherwise you have to try and tell the story more on SmackDown.
Isn't that why I tune into pay-per-views, so that I can see people interfere in the finishes of matches, right?
Because that's what they're for.
A build-up come to fruition. Like, yes,
that's what your television show is
for. But you don't build a fucking pay-per-view around it, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's what your television show is for.
I guess you're going to have to click the explicit box on this motherfucker.
Eh, fuck that. I never click it.
I do. I click it all the time. I click it on everything.
I always forget.
I probably said fuck a couple times.
Who the fuck cares? But, I mean, I don't know why they didn't do something different where, like, they have Retribution against the Hurt Business. Yeah. But, like, Retribution can be, you know, cheeky assholes like they always are. And they could face, like, Team WWE. I know that they're getting their shit kicked in by the Hurt Business, which is making me laugh so hard. Thank God I had the Buccaneers game to still watch because it was like the fourth quarter. But
I'm telling you right now, the last pay-per-view was one of the best they've had in a long time because it was special. Not everybody and their mother was on the motherfucking pay-per-view. Okay?
Correct.
So my Survivor Series would be don't even have cross brand rivalry in this. Like, have a men's SmackDown Survivor Series match, have a women's SmackDown Survivor Series match, have a Raw Survivor Series match, men's and women's, right? So you have four Survivor Series matches. Take your underlying thing that you want to put on the pre-show, fine, but we're having a 2-hour fucking pre-show, by the way, so we're regressing there. That's been announced.
Yay.
Happy fucking joy.
Big four.
You should just make the title, "This one's explicit." This is like, then it's their own fault if they're like, "Oh, you didn't check the box." Well, the title just told you it's fucking explicit, for fuck's sake.
Got a sign in 18 plus.
Parental advisory.
And then you take one of your major storylines, either Sasha and Bayley or Roman and Jay, and you put that on there. And then you take like a storyline that you want to bump up and put on there. So you have your six matches. That's what I would do. That's how I would book Survivor Series. I mean, I just don't understand. Who cares about the branding thing? Have a pay-per-view on its own for that in between the middle of drafts, not a month after the fucking draft.
I thought it was creative when they came up with that, you know, this idea of the brand, you know, matchups and stuff like that for Survivor Series. That was pretty cool when they decided to come up with it. But the problem is that it's for nothing. Who cares? And with everybody, and with the draft just happening, and with guys consistently moving brand to brand, it doesn't make it entertaining at all anyway. And when we look at, what was it, the image of 2016 to 2020, and the same exact guys are on the teams, just on opposite brands, but it's the same exact group of six guys or whatever. It's like, who gives a shit then? Like, why do I bother?
Yeah, like originally when it was like you said, when it was Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, that's fine. That's fine. That makes sense. Survivor Series, because the old adage was the heels versus the faces, and it was cute because we only had Raw. But now they're getting ridiculous where it's like, "Hey, this is brand supremacy." Yeah, didn't we have a pay-per-view for that that you like got rid of a year or two into its infancy or something like that called Bragging Rights?
Hey, and do we have anybody else better than Pat Buck to go the fuck out there with Adam Pearce to do this shit?
Oh, God.
He's the only other guy that we've seen before. Yeah, put Jamie Noble out there or something. He could have come back and done that.
Fine. Yeah, that's great.
You know, but yeah, just doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're going to leave it to one match then. Raw versus SmackDown, one match elimination with the guys that aren't in a big storyline feud right now and continue your stuff that you got going on. That's good.
It's just, there's so SmackDown wins. So what? So who gives a fuck?
What do you get?
What part of any of that is even said at TLC in December?
What, you want a cookie?
There is not even a general manager on one side or the other to be a winner or a loser for the following week. They're going to forget the whole fucking thing the next night on Raw. It's dumb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, you're not wrong at all. I mean, fuck, like I said, Bragging Rights was a fucking pay-per-view where it was Raw versus SmackDown. Yes, at least they had fucking trophy.
But that was Teddy Long against John Laurinaitis. There was people involved there that actually had storylines in it. Adam Pearce, what is he going to do, look in the mirror and be mad at the blue part of himself because the red part whipped his own ass?
I hope he comes out in two-faced colors to promote it. One side Raw, one side SmackDown.
Like, it's only his right arm cheers when SmackDown's winning and his left arm cheers when Raw's... It doesn't make any fucking sense. Whatever.
Fucking Hulk and Banner are just arguing with each other the entire time.
I got nothing. Let's move on. Let's just move on. Let's take a quick break so I can regroup a little bit. And we can talk about something that I thought was very, very fun.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Boom. Oh, it's just me, PC Tony. We're back. That's okay. It's okay. But while I got your attention, why don't you hit your internet browser on your phone or your computer or whatever the fuck you're doing. No, not like DP. Just stop. Don't punch it. No, okay. So go to the chair. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up a chair shot T-shirt. It's the best thing you'll do all day. And then head on over to thechairshot.com. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. No matter what you like, there's something there for you at thechairshot.com. Use your head. All right, guys. Halloween Havoc. We all called it. We talked about it. We said they got to do it. We said it's got to be an NXT thing. And they knocked it out of the fucking park. I mean, Shotzi up there with the buzzsaw and doing the sparks and spinning the wheel and looking fantastic. And they kicked the whole show off with an awesome, awesome entrance by Damian Priest. How did you guys think that they did with you know, first of all, I love what NXT did. What is it called? The Central Wrestling Company or something like that?
Oh, boy, what was it? Central Wrestling Alliance? What was the... It was their old building, right?
The name of it.
Yeah, whatever they did, it looks fucking awesome. They put up the chain link. They have a few people there. Then they have the two walls of LED people that are online fans up and down. It just looks awesome. It looks gritty. It looks NXT.
Well, adding the adding the fence, you know, around the plexiglass too, so it just doesn't look like stupid plexiglass, was kind of cool. You know, they added that a couple weeks ago. I thought that's just the visuals that they have are just amazing, and everything they did for Halloween Havoc was just really cool. And like I said, Shotzi out there with different outfits and things like that running the show was
Capital Wrestling Corporation.
There you go.
But yeah, they've been doing the fencing thing for a while, and I love it. All around the plexiglass, make it look different, make it look like, yeah, this is gonna be brutal, instead of just like, no, we're here for safety. So, like, it actually looks like, hey, we're going to actually, like, look, we're menacing, in all honesty. Because I did see bits and pieces of it. I did watch a good amount of it. I saw, you know, certain matches.
You've seen Halloween Havoc's bits and pieces?
Ooh. Yeah. It's like Reese's Pieces, except Shotzi gives them to me, and I'll be happy.
Here we go.
Yeah, she looked good. All right, Damian Priest losing his North American title. Johnny Gargano, first ever two-time champion. Great match, very cool finish. You guys' thoughts?
They got really creative with these, which I thought was really fun. And, you know, the wheel landing, quote-unquote landing on Devil's Playground match, which was really well done. They did, you know, falls count anywhere type of match, you know, anything goes. So they got to use the environment, which I thought was awesome, and go around and do more things in the match. So they got to go kind of show off everything they set up, you know, around the arena for Halloween type of stuff. So that was kind of neat. And then, yeah, we got a mystery person underneath the Scream mask there that came in and cost Damian Priest the championship.
Yeah, whoever this is all in with the Garganos, because we had the same thing happen, but not successful at the end of the show. We'll get to that. But, I mean, so we'll wait to guess and speculate, but you're absolutely right. It was very odd.
Yeah, and I go back to the entrance again though, but just the start of that with Damian Priest coming out to his music with the guy, I don't know who the guy was, playing the guitar or whatever for his music was just badass. I loved it. There was just such a different atmosphere, which was really cool. This could have been a pay-per-view on its own the way they did it.
It felt like a pay-per-view, didn't it? Like when I got done watching it and we were getting ready to do Potus War last night, and thanks again to Big Dave from Bandwagon Nerds and Attitude of Aggression for filling in for Platt, who honestly, this is what happened. He watched the studio movie version of Cats, and he wanted to get a tail implant and whisker implants. So that's where he's off. He was so inspired by that. That's where he's at this week. I just thought everybody should know, and it's cool because the tail, and it's like a screw in thing. So like you can screw the whiskers into his face, screw the tail. It's right above where his tailbone and above his asshole.
So he's ready for Halloween then.
It's like the northern taint where you're between your tailbone and your asshole. Now your southern taint is between your asshole and your balls.
I didn't know there was a taint two. I didn't know
taint one and taint two. Oh God, I think we do have the name of it.
I just everyone, but no, when I finished watching the Halloween Havoc, I felt like
you felt like Taint One and Taint Two.
I know bad comedians, except for Bert Kreischer, shouldn't laugh at their jokes. But did you watch any Kreischer yet, DP?
Just the cabin stuff. I've watched a few episodes, but haven't watched stand up yet.
Okay. So. All right. I shouldn't laugh at their jokes, but no, I got done watching that show last night, getting ready to do Pot is War with Big Dave. Thanks for filling in. And I was like, that felt like a pay-per-view.
It really did. I'm more upset of the fact that it's not happening, like, you know, when NXT had their old specials on Saturday, you know, Halloween.
Because of AEW, because they have to go up and do stuff up against AEW. Like, WWE isn't competing against AEW or any other company when they have pay-per-views that people have to spend $40, $50 on. They're not. They don't really care. There's not a lot of people buying those pay-per-views. The NXT, their specials are a part of the network, and they're the same part of WWE that is WrestleMania and SummerSlam and the year-round main roster pay-per-views. And that's why, you know, Greg DeMarco had the good article about you don't see the involvement of NXT coming up here at Survivor Series. Well, that's because I don't think we're going to see NXT specials that are on the weekends, NXT pay-per-views, if you will. I don't think we're going to see them on the same weekends as main roster pay-per-views anymore, except for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You didn't see it at SummerSlam. You're not going to see it at Survivor Series.
Yeah, it was the week before, but... No, that's because just my main gripe that Halloween...
Validity of the network.
Yeah. But again, my main gripe was Halloween Havoc. It's right there. No one else is doing anything on Saturday. It's right there. It's Halloween. Okay, fine. But no, I mean... Like I said, I saw bits and pieces of it. Why do I have the weirdest feeling that that's Ciampa under the Scream mask? I have a feeling it is, but I'm not going to make an early speculation like that. Because I don't know how... Well, I said it feels like it is, but I'm not going to be like, no, that's 100% Ciampa putting 500 on that. Yep. Yeah. No, I'm not doing that.
Unless they change...
Well, we'll get...
I think it was Austin Theory underneath there. based on previous
episodes. That would make sense because it was someone with that person did not have the like. Okay, so when that person came out and helped Gargano up on the stage, you could see the pretty much defined what their chest and shoulder region looked like. Because it laid, whatever he was wearing was just laying right over it, and it did not look like it did not look like Ciampa's chest and shoulders. It did look like it would match up with Austin Theory's chest and shoulders, to be honest with you. Maybe.
Just based on what they've been doing over the last couple weeks there, it looked like Austin Theory might be, you know, aligning with the Garganos, and I can't remember the, is it Indy Hartwell? Is that the woman that's been part of their kind of group?
Is that the one that dumped the spaghetti on Gargano's head?
Yeah. I think it was Indy Hartwell. I think she's the other one that I thought maybe.
I think it was her. Yeah.
But that could have been on, you know, for the match later, but I'm going to guess not. I don't know.
All right, a few other things. Before we get to the last match, let me just drop a few other things because we're already speculating on that and we can get into more involvement there. And the last match was excellent as well. But Santos Escobar would defeat Jake Atlas in a really good match. The Haunted House of Terror match, I don't know. I didn't get it. One great thing came from it. And Wade Barrett's like, that's right, zombies are legal in this matchup.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez look like the ladies that are going to carry the main roster future for WWE in the next 5 to 8 years, like 2 years, 2 or 3 years from now. In 5 to 8 years from now, they're going to be running the show up there. And then, yeah, let's get to it. I mean, ladder match, tables, ladders, and scares. Is that what it was?
Scares.
Yes. Tables, ladders, and scares. Oh, my. And what a great match. And what a cool finish. I don't know. Your thoughts, gentlemen? DP, you watched it.
I did. I thought it was really good, really well done. They, you know, again, got really nice and creative with the elements, with using the tables and using, you know, a little bit of chairs and stuff like that. They did a few different things that you don't normally see. You know, I'm going to call it the shake, rattle, and roll move off the, you know, apron under the double tables. You know, they just, you know, had some fun stuff that they did in there. And then, yeah, the ending, I thought for sure, man, when Gargano won it earlier, I thought Candice LeRae was walking out with his title. And it sure seemed that way with everything, the way they were going with it. You know, and then here comes, you know, Scream Mask, whoever it is behind there, and starts helping her climb the ladder at the end. Until Shotzi Blackheart gets involved, which was really interesting. She came running out and scared him away. And then Io ended up getting up to the top, and Candice took a good bump off the top as they, you know, onto a different ladder down at the bottom, and we still got a retaining champion.
If I was booking this forward, I would have Shotzi and Candice have like a number one contender match on NXT, have a no contest finish or whatever, and end up having a triple threat then for that title against EO. Those three in a triple threat would be amazing at their next special.
Yeah, that would be real entertaining, especially since I think, didn't Shotzi do an electric chair drop on into chairs on No Face Scream wannabe Matt Lillard?
That's right.
Well, what's next is War Games, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be... Well, you can't really have a War Games match, I don't think.
I think the War Games match is going to be with the Undisputed Era and for the brand. Pat, let's talk about Pat, the Paul Heyman McAfee of NXT.
Love it.
I love it. I loved it.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Why did he do punting first? He's perfect on the mic.
He made a shit fuck ton of money doing it.
Kicking a ball.
Yeah, that's true.
He was also the punter of the fucking decade when he did it.
I watched the Pat McAfee show too, all right? I know all the accolades.
Just saying.
Watch it every day at noon Eastern. But, no, he he can fucking talk on the mic. He can wrestle if asked to. And that beautiful little twist at the end, Kyle O'Reilly was it Roddy? I forget. It was either Roddy or
just Kyle.
Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne comes walking out.
Oh yeah, that's right. And Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne came out and joined the brand.
And just one chair shot later.
You got 4-on-4 for War Games already.
Yeah, it's a good fill in. Like, as much as now I'm blanking on his name, the guy who got injured. Dexter or Holland, Ridge Holland, for God's sakes. Ridge Holland. Sorry. Gets hurt and that kind of alters things. And I wonder if, Birch and Lorcan were going to be in on this group beforehand when that happened. But I love it. And then bringing Pete Dunne able to come back in and to just join that team is just badass, because he's the guy who could fit in that bruiser, the bruiser weight. He could fit in as that powerhouse guy. And then he got Birch and Lorcan out there being the workhorses. It's just awesome.
No disrespect to Birch and Lorcan, but with them being associated with Pat McAfee, how much is their stock fucking rose? I mean, I'm not disrespecting either of those gentlemen. Those gentlemen have had fine careers and are excellent, excellent, excellent professional wrestlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're with Pat McAfee now, and now you add Pete Dunne in there. This is legit. This is one of the best factions in wrestling, in my opinion, and they haven't even started yet.
I kind of hope for a team name other than just for the brand, because it's just Pat McAfee alone. I really hope, just to like stick it to the Undisputed Era, they call themselves the Undisputed Kingdom. Because, I mean, if they have Ridge Holland come back, I'm pretty sure he's from Ireland. I could be wrong. He's either a Scotsman or an Irishman.
So they're the UK?
So they're the UK,
Undisputed
yeah.
Kingdom. I love it.
I don't see that happening.
Undisputed Kingdom.
I mean, Birch and Morgan.
Pat McAfee. Taking so them time.
They're the brand. They're the brand. That's what they are. For the brand.
That was just for kickers and punters.
Yeah, well, now it's for Pat McAfee's fucking faction.
Fair enough. FTB.
All right, gentlemen. Let's move on to our last topic before we hit the home stretch.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is PC Tunney.
Oh, crap, that's the wrong thing.
Ruh-roh.
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
Oh, I was really hoping for something else to be there, but I don't have it, apparently.
That's what she said.
I wonder if we keep going, if it comes... I thought at the okay. Should I pull back the curtain? Let's leave it all in there. It's the Halloween episode. So I still, for some reason, have the Thunder Rosa interview right here, and I thought it began with her music, and it doesn't. It begins with me saying whatever the fuck I just said. Let's see if we get to the music quickly.
Always.
As much as I don't want to listen to myself. Head.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is PC Tunney. You know me as your commissioner.
That's true.
I am joined today by DPP, also from the DWI podcast.
He is.
You may also recognize me from Pod Is War.
That's also true.
Make sure you go over to thechairshot.com.
Do that.
Make sure you head on over to prowrestlingtees.com. Yeah,
okay, this isn't bad.
The Chair Shot. And now, sit back.
Here we go.
Relax, and listen to our interview with the one, the only, Thunder Rosa.
You're not going to hear that today. Favorite professional women's wrestlers, one of the best in the world right now, Thunder Rosa, drops the NWA title to Serena Deeb. Well deserved for Deeb. I'm happy for her. But what does it mean for Thunder Rosa's future? And if you want to go back and listen to that interview is from January, late January of this year, and it's on thechairshot.com. All you got to do is a little bit of searching. If you can't find it and you really want to listen to it, at PC Tunney on the Twitter, DM me or just message me in public there, whatever, and I'll find a way for you to listen to it. Gentlemen, where's she going? I mean, I think we all want her to end up in WWE. We all enjoy WWE. I'd love to see her. I thought it'd been so cool to have her show up on Halloween Havoc, considering she can end up with the look of like, you know, El Dia de los Muertos. So, AJ, what are your thoughts on her future being the NWA specialist at thechairshot.com?
Well, I know in the, as you like to call them, the dirtiest of sheets.
They're fucking filthy.
Yeah, they're really needs to get washed one of these days. But apparently
not
she's...
not that kind of filth.
That still needs to get washed, especially with the... Anyway...
Mark the tape and get that as a soundbite.
But apparently she's still under contract, according to Corgan himself. She's still under contract until 2021. But my thing is, I think she's going to WWE only because of two reasons. One, she's trained people in the WWE before, so. I mean, she already has the experience in the Performance Center, so they might put her into NXT, maybe just shotgun her right into the main roster. And two, you're already defending the NWA Women's Championship on Dynamite. Why would she go to AEW even if the title is still being defended in the... I think it's just WWE, because I don't think they would have dropped it if she's going to AEW.
DP, I think your thoughts are going to be the same as mine, knowing her as well as I do. Knowing her as well as I do.
Most likely. I mean, I'd absolutely love to see her in WWE. I don't know where she's going to end up, really. It's kind of depends on where she feels the best talent is, probably, and, you know, just where she enjoys being. So... you know, whether that's AEW or staying in NWA or going to WWE, you know, NXT would be a great spot for her to show off what she can do. That's always been the best women's division since they've allowed women to start wrestling again, basically. So, you know, I would love to see her in NXT and have some really great matches with whoever ends up being there at the time.
I held everybody in suspense yesterday. I let Dave and Andrew give their thoughts on this. This was one of our topics on Pod Is War. And I said, you want to know what I think? Tune in to Pod Is War this week. I didn't tell them. But I said, knowing her, you know, I kind of gave it away a little bit. But my thoughts are she's worked really hard to get where she is. and she's not a dummy. And when I say she's not a dummy, that means, I mean, she's a smart woman. And she know, and she's a hard worker. So if you know you're going to have to work hard wherever you go, and you're going to work hard wherever you go anyway, why not make the money you can make? Because no one's going to make you forever. Now, then, like WWE.
Forever!
I'm just saying, you know, you don't think about it and go, well, I'm going to get taken care of for the rest of my life if I can put in 3 to 5 years of hard fucking work at NWA, at Impact, at ROH, at MLW. Right now, you don't know, at AEW. But you put that time in at WWE and you make sure you hit the right channels correctly. When you're done wrestling for the next 15 to 25 years, you're going to make checks doing stuff on the network. You're not wrestling. You're going to make checks selling merchandise. You're not wrestling. You're going to make checks doing special appearances. You're not wrestling. And Thunder Rosa, the demographic that she demands and brings with her, is something that's always been extremely valuable to WWE.
And she has a hell of a following down there, too. I know she does a ton of stuff in Texas and San Antonio, Austin, right around it's there, not, all the different things she's doing there.
And it's
crazy.
And it's not just the racial demographic of Latino. It's the gigantic land that is almost its own country, and DP, you can attest to it himself, of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, she is huge down there, and all the events she puts on down there with the different women's events and wrestling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is
La Mira Mira
crazy,
especially since she also has her own promotion. She was defending the women's title all over the place. So
Greg DeMarco himself can attest that Thunder Rosa does indeed want to make money. We'll just leave it there.
Well, everyone does.
Greg will laugh at that if he listens to this.
Actually,
Greg will not just laugh at that, but if he listens to this, when he is the executive time, when he hears this, he will text me.
Probably.
He's done it before.
I don't believe it.
Shout out to you, Greg. All right, guys. Last thoughts on Thunder Rosa. I mean, she could go to MMA if you really wanted to work that hard, but who wants to get their fucking face beat up, especially when you look that good? Last thoughts on Thunder Rosa. DP?
Man, I mean, one of the best workers out there for the on the women's side, and going to be very well sought after wherever she decides to go. She'll have her pick.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially since, you know, I, as Tunney said earlier, I'm the NWA guy. I've seen episode, I think she debuted on 5 or something like that, came in, won the title off of Allison Kay, and just ran with it. So, I mean, whoever picks her up, it could be Impact, it could be a WWE, AEW even, but no matter who picks her up, you have a workhorse on you. You have basically the locker room leader that you need, or just someone that knows wrestling inside and out. And hell, even MMA, like you said, Tony, but I think WWE is probably the best spot that she could probably go after all of this.
If she still ends up with AEW and doing NWA, it looks like they're going to continue to work together. Or if she goes to, you know, even goes to Impact, whatever, right? There's some good talent over there as well, right? That's fine. I'm okay with that because I'll be a fan of her work no matter where she goes. But I think she deserves what she can get from being in WWE. And I think we deserve what potential she has to become a major, major star with WWE.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
I need a drink.
What a shock. Tunney says he needed a drink, and I guess it's time for some phenomenal funky facts. Even though he's been on the positive end of it as of late.
Still.
So I know for a fact, because I was around when one commissioner, PC Tunney, was talking to Big Dave and Andrew, that he
I think
knows...
the questions are going to be about Halloween Havoc.
Oh, buddy. No.
Oh, damn it.
Nope.
Because I was going to study that, and I didn't. I played Madden instead.
See, there you go. That's better. By the way, is that any good, 21?
I don't know what you're looking for in Madden. We can talk off the show. I like it because it has what I like, but DP won't play Madden anymore. So,
if you're looking for a good football game,
Tecmo Super Bowl for Nintendo,
Retro Bowl for the iOS apps in the App Store. Go check out Retro Bowl. It is Tecmo Bowl-esque with some additional front office features that you can do as well, as far as, you know, setting up a team and drafts and trades and personnel. It's actually
we'll get the football
fun
shortly. why don't you just plug your fucking video game podcast right away?
Twitter and Facebook. Thank you.
It's explicit motherfucking show. Hey, motherfucker, a winner is you, bitch.
That is motherfucker and the letter U. All right.
H-F-U-C-K-E-R, the letter U.
All right, phenomenal funky facts, that's right. Yeah, none of it is Halloween Havoc, because I kind of threw in a Halloween Havoc last week. But we're going to get to the... a little gory, we're going to get to the little bit of spooky a little bit with some of these questions. So... just so I don't hear total BS from one side, Tony, you can pick one, two, or three for the Doors. And say Rider of the Storm. Not those Doors.
Blink, I'll take door number three. Blink Fartendale.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Yeah. Bert Reynolds, it's your turn to pick. That's not my name. Fine, Turd Ferguson.
All right, Sean Connery, you have the board. I'll take Anal Bum Covers for 400, Trebek. It's an album cover. Anyway, so door number three. So, there's going to be another question after this one, so it's a two-parter.
I'll take La Tits Petite.
La Tits now. Letits now.
Letits now.
Oh, there you go. That's what it is.
Yep. All right. Anyway. So who was the special guest referee for the Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood 2003? The special guest referee at Bad Blood 03.
For what was it? A Hell in a Cell match?
It was a Hell in a Cell match.
Well, who was in the match?
That's the second question that I was going to say. Who was in that match? See, so you can get two here. Three. I'll be nice. Three. There's your treat. No tricks.
So we just put three names down?
Three names down. Special guest ref and the two competitors, if you can get it right. I'll be nice if you guys have time.
This is all wrong. I'm ready.
Yeah. Oh. 2003.
Yeah, I guess it's a little late. Maybe not. Huh.
All right. So none of you got it right.
Damn it.
Yeah.
The Bad Blood 03 main event Hell in a Cell, Triple H versus Kevin Nash for the World's Heavyweight title.
Horrible.
The special guest referee was Mick Foley. Yeah, big gold.
Oh, wow.
I was going to guess Foley not even, the ref, too.
Not even Triple H could carry those four knees. I bet you I didn't even tune in to watch that one.
Oh.
I'm not even going to go back and try and watch Kevin Nash wrestling in 2003 while Mick Foley referees.
In a Hell in a Cell. Oh.
In a Hell in a Cell.
Hunter. That's Hunter. If you put Hunter in a fucking room with the fucking truth gas, he would be like, worst Hell in a Cell ever.
Oh, jeez. All right.
What's the worst of the time I fucked the corpse? I'll take door number two.
Door number two. All right.
Give me the deuce.
Sad thing is, it wasn't even the worst gimmick match Triple H and Nash had. What? No one remembers sledgehammer. Grab the sledgehammer on top of the ladder match.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, but here we go. I'm making Kevin Nash fucking climb shit.
Yeah. Anyway, alrighty. So your guys' question is, when was the first ever first blood match in WWE, and who were the two competitors?
Oh,
I'd be impressed if someone got like the pay-per-view and the year too, as along with the characters.
Oh, okay. Well. Alright, since you already gave it. Is that it? Was he right?
The pay-per-view was it in June? It was,
Let's see if we
I don't
the
know what the pay-per-view was.
So is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, that was actually the correct answer because Tony was being a smartass.
Yeah. Because I figured that's what I was going to put down, and I'm like, was he okay? Is he trying to fuck us over?
It was Stone Cold versus Kane.
If you say you were going to put that down, I believe you.
I was going to put that.
I believe it too.
Yes.
Trust me, because this is a very memorable year for DP and I.
Yeah.
That's why I put it on there, especially a first blood match. So I didn't. What was the pay per view?
Was it June? Am I right? Or was it July?
Why are you giving me a month? I'm asking for the pay per view.
Because I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to say.
Was it Bad Blood?
No,
it wasn't Bad Blood.
Because that would have worked out perfectly.
No, Bad Blood was the old In Your House.
That didn't start, yeah.
So WrestleMania, and then it wasn't Backlash, and I don't remember what happened in May. Maybe there was a King of the Ring, or was it at King of the Ring?
I don't think it was King of the Ring. I have one guess, but I'm pretty sure it's wrong, because he wrestled Dude Love at this one.
Go ahead, you can guess first, since I put the answer up first.
All right, I'll guess Over the Edge.
Over the Edge.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
What are you gonna say?
Remember what would be then?
Oh my god!
You know it now?
Ah, shit! No, but I.
I'm trying to think of the names of the pay-per-views back then that were in the summer. Because I can think of, like, No Mercy's October, like, things of that nature. Watch it be No Mercy. Look at Andrew. I'll say No Mercy. Or that. I called you Andrew.
You did. I should take away
no
a point.
No points for that. No points
I'll go
for
with
that.
No Mercy. I'll go with
guys, neither of you are right. Because it was said before, but you guys second guessed yourself. It was King of the Ring.
Damn it, I had it on my
no.
It was
way.
The main
That's
event.
Total BS.
It was That's right BS. After Taker Long Foley.
It was. I was to say it was right after Hell in the Cell match.
Billy Gunn won the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And then Yeah, because there was a Hell in the Cell match that the Hell in the Cell came down during that match.
No. 98? Ken Shamrock was King of the Ring.
Oh, yeah, that was 99. 99 was Billy Gunn, right?
I think so.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then he went and Billy Gunned it. Who saw that coming, eh?
That was the end of King of the Ring at that point.
It's like Lou Gehrig's disease. Who saw that coming?
Jesus.
So we're still tied. We're still tied. What are we tied? Tied at three now, two?
Yep. So I hope you guys were paying attention earlier. Oh, especially since Tony had to go grab alcohol. So for the last question, we all know that Santos Escobar had a mask and was El Hijo del Fantasma. Anyone know who he lost that mask to at Triple Mania 26?
What year was that?
26, I believe, was 2 years ago.
Are we going to guess the same guy? Didn't he pay tribute to him at Halloween Havoc?
It was 2 years
ago, though. 18.
Is there a,
I'm ready.
I don't know any Japan wrestlers. I don't know.
Was in Japan.
Yeah, it's too bad Triple Mania is not in Japan.
Oh, then I don't
fucking
know.
Triple Mania is...
Yeah.
No, don't tell him. That's horseshit.
It's fine. I got to guess. That's fine. It's
not Japanese. So let's see.
Ah, damn it.
I really hope you guys paid attention better.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Mm. LA Park!
Ah, damn it!
Oh, well done. You win trivia this week.
Yeah, really?
You win trivia this week, and that's no BS. Seriously. Seriously. He gave it away. He. Oh, that was... That was fucking awesome. What you just did was excellent. I love it.
And that right there was the trick.
That was excellent. I love it. You gotta, like, Costanza, you're out of here. How can the host win the fucking game?
That's how.
There's only one way that two contestants can lose to the host.
Blame it on the blues, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drunk, got you feeling drunk.
All right, gentlemen, you still cannot pick Christian McCaffrey. He is not coming off the IR for the game that starts in less than 20 minutes here as we record Thursday afternoon, early Thursday.
Don't tell me who I can't pick.
Then fucking pick him. Whatever. I hope you both pick him. You guys can pick him for all four fucking positions for all I care. Because let me update you on the fucking standings. This is Tobias!
Oh, no. A new Uh-oh. BS.
DP was the winner last week. Regardless of all the fuck AJ picked, Justin Herbert scoring 47.95 points.
Ooh. Air Bear!
But DP picked Davante Adams, who had 44.6. So you only had a 3-point advantage there. The rest of what you picked did not do so hot. DP also had Alvin Kamara, who was at almost 23. My team was fucking horrible. I came in last again. So the standings after 7 weeks. DP with 12 points. AJ with 9 points. PC with 7 lonely points. And it's not looking good. 5 points back with 10 weeks to go.
Hey, anyone remember when I only had one?
Yeah, it was like
2 weeks ago.
I was about to say 2 weeks ago is when I started getting points.
All right, gentlemen. I do believe the double first pick goes to DP, and I do believe the first pick goes to AJ.
So, just to ask the question.
Oh.
The Falcons-Panthers do count, or they don't count, keeping with tradition?
The game has not started yet.
Game has not started.
Stretch. Stretch.
Well, you're gonna have to stretch for like 26 more minutes, and I don't really like that.
Stretch, I'm filibustering the stretch. The draft.
I'm so hungry. I got Arby's waiting for me.
Ooh,
wow!
You are hungry. Holy cow!
Damn, Arby's. All right. I'm probably gonna kick myself for what I'm about to say. Let's go with quarterback first. And I'm going to pick. Come on, guys. Jeff, I'm going to pick.
Jeff George?
No. Oh. No. I'm going to pick Tom Brady.
Tommy.
Who's that?
Tommy.
I'm going to pick Tom Brady in his 6 Super Bowl rings.
Against the Giants. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That means that I get to pick second here. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. I did it. I said it.
And I'm gonna go. Oh man, that's that. That would be well. Oh boy. Oof.
Some juicy picks.
I guess. I mean, is it really? I can't let anybody else take it in case it's not what I think it's gonna be. So I'll take Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, at home. There it is.
Against the Chiefs.
Against the Jets. Junior varsity.
The Chefs. The Chefs against the Jets. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid pick. Oh, man. I am going to continue my run of homers. I'm going to go with Aaron.
Rodgers. All right.
It's got to be a homer because the pitcher said though.
I got the first pick here, and I'm going to take the most consistent point getter in his category, except for last week, apparently. But I think I'm just going to double up against the Jets, and I'll take Kelsey.
Tight end. Okay. Fuck, do I want to double up?
Pretty good.
No, I'm not going to double up.
I traded for Gronk this week.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I traded for Gronk this week. It's it's a starting lineup keeper league. Where you can keep one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, and a tight end. You can't keep the flex, the kicker, or the defense. So you can keep 6 guys. You can keep them as long as you want or as short as you want. Every year you can keep those number of people. And so I traded Daryl Henderson for Gronk. Now, mind you, I have Kareem Hunt, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. Now McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Askin and Bell. I have Jamichael Hasty, is it? The starter this week for San Francisco.
Yep.
And I've had Zach Ertz all year, who's now on IR, and Hunter Henry, who have both been disappointing, so I needed to trade for Gronk. I wasn't going to keep Henderson anyway.
Since we're talking tight ends here.
Football insight here while we're talking about it.
Yeah. So, the Seahawks don't have that good of a defense anymore. So I'm going to go with good old George Kittle.
There you go.
Works for me since I can't take him anyway because I took him last week, correct?
EP would be wise to take who I took last week, but that's up to him.
Which I believe is the guy I was going to pick, and that's Darren Waller.
Walla Walla Bang Bang. That's who I picked.
Hey.
All right, DP, you get to go first twice in a row. AJ, you had the very first pick, so I will go second on the first position.
Well, very good. Well, then I am going to go running back, and I will take the powerhouse Derrick Henry this week. Against the shitty ass Bengals.
Okay. Not a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, yeesh. What should we do here? What's looking good? What's looking good? Ooh. I don't know. Do I believe in Chicago's defense? Do I believe in Cleveland's defense? This is an interesting week here. Oh, man. This is great podcasting. Me sitting here going, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Really got it. Oh, yeah. Can't say that anymore.
Not anymore.
I'm going with Alvin Kamara.
All right.
Remind me who I picked last week, because I forget off the top of my head.
Oh, man.
Rojo.
I did pick Rojo, that's right. Well, we're not going to do that. We're instead going to go with someone who I picked before in past weeks, Clyde Edwards of the good old Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, DP. Receiver is where we're at.
Well, it just wouldn't be right if we all didn't take a piece of that Jets game, so I'll go with Tyreek Hill, wide receiver.
Jesus.
We got all the main players in play this week. My well, the Jets, man. It's like everybody tries to pick up the team that's playing the Jets for their defense as well. Right,
exactly.
Well, and I picked up Tampa this week because they're playing the Giants. Like, if they're playing a New York football team,
That's your best bet.
All right, AJ, you get to go second here. Wide receiver.
Wide receiver, huh? So I have a question because I forget. Does anyone know when Antonio Brown's supposed to play? Isn't it week 8? Or is it week 9?
He's eligible after week 8.
Let me tell you. Well, DP's in first, so he'll tell you. I'm in last. I wasn't going to tell you.
eligible on anyway. Week 9. Well, I still got 20 minutes before this game starts. Do I want to pick someone off of the Falcons or the Panthers? Nah, instead, let's go with the safe pick. Picking off of your Packers, Devontae.
Asshole. Dick.
Oh, was that your pick?
No, it's not. It's your pick, fuckface.
Something explicit this way comes.
Yeah, why don't you shut that bitch up over there before I come over there and fuck start her face.
Nice.
Well, the Packers are no Saints on offense, and they're on defense, I should say.
Well, not that the Saints have a good defense, but you know what I mean. I'm still not going to do it. No, I'm not going to take a Viking. Oh, I can't do that either. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. More great podcasting from me here.
Hey, remember, you still got 18 minutes. You can still pick off of that Falcons and
I'd like to take
DJ Panthers
Moore.
Game.
Trust me, Ridley.
Trust me. Somehow in one of my leagues, I ended up with both Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, and I have to play them both every week, and they really haven't disappointed, to be honest with you. But all that being said,
because I know for a fact, I'm like, I could take Teddy. I could take Matt Ryan. No, I'm going to go with the safe bet and pick Brady against the Giants, who have, like, absolutely nothing.
Oh, baby.
I'm going with Keenan Allen.
Ooh.
Like it.
There you go. That's it. That's blame it on the alcohol. All right, folks, we got one last thing to talk about, and it's called Last Call.
Let's go.
What do you mean? What do I mean? Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up a chair shot t-shirt. I guarantee you, just like the chair shot website itself, there's something there that you will like. Gentlemen, last call. We're recording Thursday here, the 29th of October, the Halloween episode of the DWI podcast. But tomorrow, The Mandalorian, episode 1 of season 2 drops. How excited are you guys? What are you looking forward to this season? And how cool is it that Star Wars has given us like this episodic spinoff of a prequel that just has captivated us, really? I mean, it's so interesting that Sasha Banks is possibly a Jedi this season, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, just anytime you get to see them, you know, in movies like, you know, or shows like Edge did one as well, Vikings, and I watched those and saw him in there too. And, you know, it's really cool to always see them do different things outside of wrestling. But, I, you know, the first season of Mandalorian was awesome. I haven't really seen where they're going to go with season two, so I'm excited to see what they do with the whole thing. And they're, I don't remember the synopsis of what season two is supposed to be about. So is it him getting the child back to his homeland?
I mean, eventually, doesn't the end of this story end up with, like, the Jedi Order being entrusted with, isn't this baby Yoda? I mean, like, isn't, we got to get there somewhere. Like, I mean, he's going to be fucking Yoda, yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he?
That could be 1,000 years from now, though.
Yeah.
How old was he?
He was 900. What was he in the stories? 900 in Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, and like, right? The quote unquote, the child, baby Yoda, is apparently 50 at the moment, I believe. I could be wrong on that.
And are we confirmed that it's Yoda, or is it just maybe like the continuation of the species is what we're trying to do here?
Right. Yeah, it hasn't been confirmed or anything like that, because I thought it was more of a, that's the species continuing, or that, you know, they're still around kind of thing, you know, like, not specifically that this is Yoda.
I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it, though. If it is Yoda, that would be cool. Not going to deny it, where it's actually like somewhat of a Yoda origin story and whatnot. But I mean, I'm really looking forward to the season. I'm not going to lie. I wonder if it'll be like The Boys and it'll drop on midnight. So, you know, stay up and watch that maybe. Maybe I might stop by on that shirt that you're wearing right there, DP, maybe talking about it.
Oh, yeah. So, looking up The Mandalorian here, it's after the first set of the trilogy.
Okay.
So, it's definitely not Yoda. I think it's more the continuation of the species then.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
I like my story better.
Right. I mean, Sasha Bailey, the story for the child. I mean, we always come up with the best storylines that they don't do.
I mean, it could spawn into so much more, so many more things. It could be, you know, completely far away from what's happening in the realm of the actual movies of Star Wars and where they actually take place inside of their universes and galaxies, et cetera, right?
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe maybe Baby Yoda might be a Sith. Like, at the end of it, like, way, like, more seasons in, he's a Sith Lord.
Okay. Okay, no.
Come on, that would be awesome.
You're done. Somebody cuts Mike.
What the? Come on. The reason why we don't see him is because, like, Yoda chopped him down and he felt bad or some shit. I don't know.
Is there anything else coming out this weekend or coming up that you guys are looking forward to?
Right now, I don't think so. I mean, video game wise, Watch Dogs Legions is coming out. I think it drops today as we're recording, so
hurry up and get this over with.
Pick that one up. That's tomorrow. I got the day off.
There you go. Tomorrow, I not only am I looking forward to watching episode one of season two of The Mandalorian, but season four of Somebody Feed Phil. Phil Rosenthal, the executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. If you enjoy food shows where they travel around the world and, you know, experience different cultures, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal show, and that is probably going to drop the entire season at once. So I already got the alcohol for tomorrow, and I got the things to watch, and that'll be my day.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I can't top that.
All right, gentlemen. Happy Halloween. We've done another spooktacular job. DP, speaking of video games, why don't you let everybody know what's going on with you on Planet It's Me, DPP.
Well, we've got A Winner Is You continuing to go strong here. You can follow that on Twitter and Facebook at A Winner Is You for all things video games. You can also follow me at It's Me, DPP. And you can follow this show, the DWI Podcast, at Podcast DWI on Twitter or Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
AJ, NWA, UWN, WWE, DWI, your life is just an alphabet.
Yeah, I mean, hell, even we're an alphabet here. PC, AJ, and DPP, come on.
Well, DP and I are officially alphabet soup. That's what Tommy Rich would call us. And go ahead, I'll continue that thought after you're done.
Monkeys and rabbits loop the loop. Anyway. You can find me on Twitter at PhenomenalAJB, AJB being in all capitals. And you can also see me, as Tiny said before, thechairshot.com doing United Wrestling Network. Tuesdays if Fight wants to be nice. Wednesdays if it's one to be a jerk. And also go check out my Hell in a Cell review of that. I actually had a lot of fun with it. So, go check it out. I'm a little bit of a smartass because I know for a fact I said something about the Bucks in the beginning of Hell in a Cell. So, Tunny, I believe you should bring us on home.
You can follow me at PC Tunny, and that is where you can head and find the interview that Big Dave did with Tracy Smothers, RIP Tracy Smothers, Southern Boys, Young Pistols, WCW, What is it? Freddie, Rob, oh man, what was his name in, I got it written down here, in WWE as a jobber to the stars. It's like Freddie Joe Floyd. That's, how could I forget? And of course, the main man, Tracy Smothers in the FBI with Tommy Rich, you know, they did a great job there in ECW, and he continued on to do his dance moves. Tracy Smothers, what a great guy, what a great wrestler, and he'll be missed. And go to at PC Tunney because I like the tweet that, or go to at Attitude Egg. Big Dave did an interview with him in April while he was suffering from the cancer that he was suffering from. And the guy told all the stories that he wanted to tell and just put everybody over. It's a great interview. Check it out. RIP Tracy Smothers. And he'll be missed. So go ahead and check that out at Attitude Egg. Big Dave does a great job there. Thanks to him for filling in on Pot is War. Make sure you check that out on thechairshot.com. And Three Man Weave is back. There's tons of podcasts. There's tons of articles. There's tons of news, results, everything else, everything you need, whether it's sports, entertainment, or sports and entertainment. There's something for everybody. Use your head and go to thechairshot.com. For DPP, for AJB, I'm PCT. We did it again. Happy Halloween to everybody. And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
Gentlemen, how did you enjoy your Halloween episode, DWI 251?
That was pretty spooky. I almost wet myself.
That's disgusting.
Why?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.